Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Our subject, what the future holds. As we think about all that we have heard in our prophecy conference from Friday night to all day Saturday and last night as well. And if you didn't get here, get the tape, some of the most outstanding prophecy messages I've ever heard. I've been preaching for 53 years. I'm an old dude. But I tell you, what we had this weekend was absolutely fabulous. And I hope you'll get a copy of that. If you didn't hear about Dr. Ed Heinzen from Liberty University, he taught the entire book of Revelation in 1 hour. Amen? Took me 3 years. He got it done in 1 hour. Dr. David Seifert gave us a message on Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that both Dr. Ed Heinzen and I said has got to be one of the best, most outstanding messages we've ever heard. You got to get the tapes, and I hope they'll be a blessing to you. Now, you might be surprised that we're going to James 4. Pick it up at verse 13. On the question, what does the future hold? And we're going to be as honest as we can, and we're going to be as helpful as we can. James 4:13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Father, it seems like we're always making plans about what we're going to do tomorrow or next week or next year. And you have told us here in this passage that that kind of reasoning is really close to being evil. You want us to trust you for today, not tomorrow. Today and right now is the only time any of us have. And God, I pray that we will heed the Amos prophet message when he said, "Prepare to meet thy God." This may be the last time we fellowship with God's people on planet Earth. We don't know what you have in mind. But we know that every day people are dying. I pray, Lord, that you will also help us to understand what's really going on in our world, that we might be prepared, that we might be aware and not be caught unawares. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you just three basic things, and these things will tell you and me what our future holds. And number one of which, I want all of us to understand that God in his word has told us to remember what will not change. Now it seems like to me, every day things are getting different, weirder, more difficult. Last year I was here, your traffic is worse, amen? You can't park anywhere. It's amazing what is taking place in the islands. A lot of people still want to come here. Why? If you're a surfer, I understand it. But why would you want to come to such a beautiful place and ruin the joy of going to heaven? Do you know that people actually believe Hawaii is heaven? And some people move to a new location. They're so excited. They got a new house and they got a new car and they're so excited. And God says, why are you boasting? You know, the first time I got my truck, which I've had for 11 years, when I first got it, the first day I got that truck, I was in one of those mall parking lots and backed up into a pole, and there's a huge dent on the back of my truck. You know what I've done? Nothing. You have to look at it and say, why doesn't that guy fix that? Well, it still runs. Why should I fix it? It's going to cost money to fix it. Why should I waste my money? It's okay. Amen? What am I trying to tell you? You know, some things are not going to change. There are people out there that drive so bad, they're going to hit somebody. Amen? It just happened to be, well, no. Actually, I did it myself. Well, this is going to be a little more exciting than that stupid illustration. Remember what will not change. What are we talking about? Well, for one thing, the plans of God. Aren't you glad they don't change? Some of you aren't sure. That's why you said nothing. In Isaiah chapter 46, please. Isaiah chapter 46. What is not going to change? The plans of God. And he says so in many places. Malachi 3 tells you, I am the Lord and I change not. Hebrews 6 says, I made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they're not going to change either because I am the unchangeable God, immutable. He will not change. Well, in Isaiah 46, look at this, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. At the end of the next verse, it says, I have spoken, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, and I will also do it. God has plans for planet Earth. A lady this last spring called me from CNN. I'm always nervous when somebody calls me from CNN. Anyway, she said, what are you guys going to do about Earth Day? Nothing. You're not going to do anything about Earth Day? No, we're just going to read the Bible again, sing some songs of praise and prayer and so forth. That's about it. Well, do you believe in global warming? Oh, yes, I definitely believe in global warming. She said, well, that's funny. I was told that you don't. Well, I don't like Al Gore's book, but no, I believe in global warming. In fact, I have the original document that tells us about global warming. An original document? Yes. Well, do you have it with you? Yeah, it's right here on my desk. And it tells you about global warming. She said, well, could I print it in the paper? Oh, that would be wonderful. I said, you like me to read it to you right now? She said, oh, that'd be great. So I read her 2 Peter chapter 3. When the Bible says the day of the Lord is coming, God, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. That's global warming. God is going to blow this place sky high. You say, what does the future hold? Earth is going down. Isn't that comforting? God's going to blow the whole place up. Well, she's stuttering now. Do you have any idea when it will be? I said, yeah. The Bible says God's planned it, he's going to do it, and he's not changing his plan. Well, when is it? When he's going to do it. The plans of God, folks, aren't going to change according to the Bible. Here's something else that will not change. Hallelujah, the power of God's love. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Let it rip. God's listening, and it's dangerous to be silent. He's going to judge people who are silent and did not praise him when we mentioned his characteristics. So let me repeat that again. God's love, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Amen. Yeah, let it rip, folks. We're not here to have holy whispers for Jesus' sake. We're here to shout the praises of the Lord. Wow. God's love will not change. I like to get up in the morning and think about his love. He loves me and he knows what a wretch I am. Isn't that wonderful to know? Turn to the person next to you and say, do you know that you are nothing but dirt, but God still loves you? That's what the Bible says. Remember what will not change. Number three. Oh, yeah. The problems of life, they're not going to change either. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. The problems of life are not going to change. You say, boy, we've had a rough year. Well, here's the blessed news. It's going to get worse. Life is filled with problems, people. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Man, I've had a rough 2 years, let me tell you. I'm still not over it. I'm still under doctor's care. First, it was malaria, the most severe form that has hit Central Africa. I was out there teaching the Word of God. You would think God would leave me alone. But instead, he gave me the worst case of malaria I've ever seen. I thought I was dead. My wife thought I was dead. But it's a miracle I'm still alive. I got through that, man, that terrible illness. If you've never had a severe case of malaria, pray you don't get it. It's awful. About 3 months went by, and I was feeling a little better, so I got back on the road again preaching in our prophecy conferences. I was in England at a prophecy conference last October, the last week. That's the week the E. coli plague, the worst they've ever seen in the world, hit England. I caught the E. coli plague. 22,000 men of my age are dead already from that plague. It then went on to Germany. It is now in Yemen, by the way. They don't really know what causes it. They think it has something to do with lettuce, but they don't know. All the babies that got it are dead. We're talking about one of the more severe plagues that has ever hit the planet. After I got a little bit better and got out of the coma I was in the hospital, I finally started looking it up, and I realized it's a miracle I'm still breathing. I started thinking about going home to be with the Lord. I started singing songs in the night and everything about seeing my Lord. I was visualizing revelation. I just couldn't wait. I said, this is time. I'm an old dude. It's time to go home to be with the Lord. Amen? And then God healed me, and I have to come here and talk to you. There's something not right here. Of course you're going to have problems. The Bible says the outward man is falling apart. The inward man can be renewed. But we're not to look at the things that are happening all around us, but at the things that are coming under the promises of God. Yet most of us are tied up with what are the crummy errands and details of life, and will I get through with it all and come out on top untouched? But according to the Bible, that's not going to happen. A few months ago, I was preaching on suffering. I guess because I'd had a rough couple of years, so I started studying everything the Bible said about suffering. So I put it together in a message and delivered it. After I was done, 17-year-old kid sitting in the front row came up and he said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I've never suffered." I said, "Cheer up, you will. It's just a question of time." "Oh, yeah, we've been telling you the wrong message. Ah, the dream, it's going to come true." No, it may not. 90,000 teenagers died today. Who do you think you are? James said, "What's your life? It's just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Thank God some things don't change, but I'm not sure I like this one. But the Bible tells me that God brings those troubles into our lives to make us more effective, not to beat us down and abuse us and dump all this junk on us. No, God gives you all this trouble for one reason. 2 Corinthians 12, "I'll rejoice in my infirmities." Why? "That the power of the Messiah may rest upon me." Sometimes God has to hit you between the eyes before he has your attention. He wants to use you, but some of us have not been broken like he wants. You know what else will not change? The promises of God's word. Amen. The promises of God's word. 2 Chronicles says of all those, 2 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 20, of all those promises, it says all the promises of God are yes. They're all going to happen. You can trust the Lord for it. Isaiah is filled with interesting passages regarding this. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And look at verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. It says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." God's made all these wonderful promises, and every last one of them is going to come true. There are a lot of good things that will not change. Let me give you one more. The purpose of God will not change. When I ask believers, what do you think the purpose of God is for your life? They kind of struggle with the question. Well, according to Revelation 4, verse 10 and 11, the purpose of God is that we would all praise him and his son. We'd give glory to them all the time. We would thank them every day for all they have done for us. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." God wants us to glorify him. In fact, the root of sin, all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. We all need to understand that the purpose God has of our life, whether we live 10 years, 20, 60, 80, 90, whatever the length of our life, the purpose of God for all believers is that we might glorify the Lord. That will never change. It'll remain constant. So number one, in thinking about all the Bible prophecy I've heard, Remember, David, what will not change. It will help you to get through life without getting bitter and upset at things that don't turn out like you wanted. Remember what will not change. Number two, the second thing I want you to understand about your future is that you need to realize what may happen this year. We don't live in the light of this, according to James 4. Instead, we make all these boastings about what we think we're going to accomplish and do. You don't know that. You know, my life is filled with stuff I didn't plan on. It's filled with it. God's accomplishing His plan. I remember when I graduated from graduate school, not only college, graduate school. I got educated beyond my intelligence. And we were all sitting there. They were giving testimonies. The guys were there. Most of them had wives. And they were telling what they thought God was going to do in their life. You know, I think I'm going to be a pastor and I want to be in such and such a city, or I think I'm going to the mission field and whatever. And we were in a giant circle, 57 graduates and their wives, most of them. They were going all the way around. I was sitting at the end and it never even dawned on me that I was going to have to say something. I was enjoying it all. It was so wonderful. And they were getting closer. My wife turned to me in her sweet way and says, "What are we going to do, sweetheart?" I realized at that moment I did not know. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. Well, you got all this education. What is it for? I don't know. Well, David, this is it. This is the last night. Now we have to live. True. You don't like the mobile home we have. I thought it was pretty good. 7 feet wide, 30 feet long. You don't like it. I didn't say that. But are we going to live in this mobile home the rest of our lives? I said, I don't know. Well, David, you should know something. They're going to be here and about three more people, and you're going to have to say. So when they finally got to me, I stood up, and with great gusto, I said, I haven't got the foggiest idea what I'm going to do. But I sure want to thank you for all for giving me this education. We went home that night in the trailer, and my wife is crying. Do you know, guys, what sniffling is when your wife does it? And you ask, what's wrong? Nothing. Well, you're crying. Well, there's got to be something the matter. It's you, dummy. We hadn't been married that long. And then I realized I'm going to have to pay for her food and stuff. Wow. Didn't have a job. Where's the money going to come from? We sat around in a trailer, mobile home, let's class it up a little. We sat around for 2 months. My wife was going crazy. She said, what are we going to do? We can't stay here the rest of our life. We can't even pay the rent on this little trailer space. About that time, a friend of mine who had a little small plane was going on a business trip over to Ohio. We were living in Indiana. And he asked me to go. And I've always wanted to get up there and play around with a plane. And I said to my wife, you know, I'd really like to go with it. Well, she was anxious to get me out of that trailer. She said, go! I said, okay. So I'm flying this little plane. He let me do the controls up there. Probably shouldn't tell you that, but I did. And it was just lots of fun. And we landed at Ohio State University Airport, which is nothing but trees. And we landed there. The moment we landed there, I had this unusual feeling that I was going to go to Columbus, Ohio. He spent the day there. We went back. When I walked into the trailer, mobile home, when I walked in the mobile home, my wife knew something had happened to me. She said, "What happened?" I said, "I'm not sure." "Well, you were gone all day. What was going on?" I said, "I don't know. We were at Columbus, Ohio. We landed at the Ohio State University Airport. Did somebody come up that you could witness to and tell about Jesus?" I said, "No." "Well, what happened?" "Oh, I got kind of sick." "And that's it? You got sick?" I said, "No, I think we should go to Columbus, Ohio." "Do you know anybody there?" "No." "Well, what are you going to do?" "I don't know until I get there." "Have you ever been?" "No, I haven't." "You've never been to Columbus, Ohio, and you feel we should go there?" "I've never been either. David, I don't want to go." 1 month later, I put my wife and a new baby in a little Corvair. That car was a mistake. But anyway, and I drove down to Columbus, Ohio, and my wife is crying the entire way. About 10 miles outside of Columbus, we saw a sign that said Columbus is coming up. And she said, "Well, where are we going to stay tonight?" At that point, I did not know. I had $10 in my pocket, but I needed gas. So I pulled into a gas station, and it was a little old lady, you know, with the bun and all. And she was trying to fill up her card, couldn't do it. I said, "Let me help you, ma'am." I put the thing in there, and she started talking to me, and she said, "Well, what are you doing here?" I said, "You know, I really don't know." "Well, where are you going to stay tonight?" I said, "I don't know." "Well, you come home with me." I went back to the car, and I said, "The Lord has answered prayer. This woman over here, do you know that woman, David?" "No." "She could be a serial killer or something. I don't know the woman. You want me to take this baby and live with this woman? What's going on?" I said, "I don't know, but I haven't got any money for a hotel, so let's do it." You know, we lived with that woman for 3 months in one bedroom. And every day my wife said, "What are we going to do now?" "I don't know." I'll shorten up the story for you. It's the largest church in Ohio today. It sits on 81 acres, has over 3,000 seats in the auditorium. 8 other churches were spawned off of it, and it has a Christian school. It's the largest in the state of Ohio. And I didn't know squat about what I was doing. What am I trying to tell you? We all need to realize what may happen this year. Let me put it to you in Bible knowledge. 1, the Bible teaches that it's very possible we're going to experience persecution this year. Many have faced it before, and many are facing it on planet Earth now. Jesus said, "If they hated me, they'll hate you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you." In 2 Timothy, Paul said, "Those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Not maybe, will. Nobody really cares that 3 million Christians in Darfur, Sudan, have been slaughtered, massacred, and dismembered. Not one word out of the United Nations. It's happening all over the world. With what I see going on in the United States of America right now, it could easily happen here. Easy. 2, realize what may happen this year, and that's a possibility of personal loss and death. Job 1 said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was talking about the loss of his family. Paul said to be with Christ is far better. The Bible says, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord, for they will rest from all their labors." I do a lot of funerals. I like to do funerals. People are ripe for the gospel at a funeral. And I've seen personal friends. Most of the ones that I went to graduate school with are already home to be with the Lord. And sometimes I ask, why am I still here? And I thought these last 2 years I was going to go. We don't know what's going to happen, do we? Somebody here in this auditorium, I spoke these words in a church auditorium and did not know that a couple that was sitting there would get out of that meeting. They love the Lord. They're all excited. They got into their car and had a head-on collision two blocks away, and both were killed. And I could still hear her on the phone. Daddy, why did that happen? That moment I had no answers. I just said, I don't know, sweetheart. But on the basis of the story of King David, I believe that baby is with the Lord, and you will see her one day. That same sweet daughter of mine called me just a few years ago, three to be exact. Her husband, all of a sudden, who was a great guy, had a brain aneurysm and died on the spot before they could get any help. She's sitting all by herself alone in another state. Why did that happen? I don't know, honey. I really don't know. But I'm going to trust the Lord that he has a reason in all of this. Make no mistake about it. Death is happening to many families just like you. And some of us have never really thought that it would. It's happened to people who are young, who've got, they say, their whole life in front of them. No, you don't know. You can't make any predictions about what will be tomorrow, said God in James. You don't know. Your life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it's gone. The point is, you better be right with the Lord. You better be clear in your relationship with our blessed Lord. Don't take any chances. Maybe I'm talking to somebody tonight who really hasn't paid attention. You think, well, there's a lot of time yet. I'm still young. Watch out. Watch out. Let me tell you something else you need to realize may happen this year, and that is the probability of global disasters, widespread deception, terrorist attacks, and military conflicts are going to increase. That's what the Bible says. I talked to some folks who were in Joplin, Missouri when the tornado hit. They lost their home. They lost their car. All they had were their wishes of what they were going to do. And this dear couple who loved the Lord said, we were wrong for thinking we have our whole life ahead of us and nothing possibly could happen that would change things. And then the tornado hit. We weren't expecting it. It wasn't tornado season. And it had never come through Joplin. It wiped our city out. Those 3,000 people up there in the Trade Center making lots of money never dreamed about 9/11, 2001, and that their lives would be lost because of a terrorist attack. The probability of these things are spoken in the Bible all the time. Jesus called them birth pangs in Matthew 24. That there's worse things coming. It's only the beginning of sorrows. Wow. Here's a fourth thing you better realize may happen. Because right now the pressure on Israel is unbelievable. God told us to watch for this. The peace of what a gentleman will become Antichrist, but will be loved at first. He'll be able to pull it off and get Israel and her enemies to sign a peace agreement with one another. That will be enforced on the people of Israel according to Daniel 9:27. And right now, they are making plans. The Security Council cannot answer the request for a Palestinian state right now because they are considering how to pressure Israel into setting up a Palestinian state on their own land. You know what else we need to realize may happen? It's what the Bible says is going to happen just before Jesus returns. The prevalence of many people departing from the faith and confidence in the Bible. Apostates, heretics, false religion, it's going to dominate. Do you think because you sit here in a Bible-teaching church that you are going to be untouched by it? No, God warns the believers who love the Lord, watch out. Some of the people you're trusting in are going to turn away from the faith. In my own personal circle of speakers and teachers and pastors, I have never seen such a turning away from God's word as has happened in the last 10 years. It's getting worse and worse. The Bible said people are going to depart from the faith. They aren't going to pay attention anymore to the Bible. They're going to want teachers who will tickle their ears, tell them what they want to hear. It won't be Bible teaching anymore. Amos the prophet said, what we'll have is a famine of the Word of God. People will be going everywhere just to find somewhere where they could hear the Bible taught systematically, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. You know what else may happen? I like to talk about this. All I read is about America's going down. Have you read that too? We got a economic crisis. Many people are turning away from the Lord. And I have heard pastor friends of mine really go after this. And boy, it's dismal. It's discouraging. It's depressing. But I got to thinking, reading my Bible, that the preaching of God's word and the message about repentance could bring a moral and spiritual revival to our country once more. Wouldn't that be wonderful that our president would get on the news and say, I have been born again by the Spirit of God, and we're going to turn back to the Bible in this country. Why is that so far removed from people's minds? When up in the north, God's people in Canada have been on their knees for several years asking God to do a miracle in a liberal-oriented culture, far from biblical values, multi-ethnic, multicultural, but it did not work. The experiment of Canada did not work. And all of a sudden, a man who's a born-again evangelical, loves the Lord and loves Israel, gets elected in Canada. The first day he's in office, he said, we are no longer going to boycott the goods of Israel. We're going to start doing business with Israel because God said he would bless us if we bless them. It was a shock to all of Canada. And he said, anytime Israel needs us, Canada's military will be on guard to help them. We had people praying all over Canada. We have a full ministry, radio ministry in Canada that's separate from the United States. We're here on KLHT, as you know, Monday through Friday at 9:30. But we're in Canada, all of the provinces, and there's a tremendous need in Canada. Well, in Canada, when the prime minister has a couple of years, then they got to have a vote of confidence. And the amount of time that he's going to reign up until 5 years is determined by the amount of votes that he gets. So all the liberals are really after him. His name is Stephen Harper. Get used to the name. And Stephen Harper just recently, a few months ago, at the election to determine how long he'd be in office, got the highest number of votes that anyone in Canada has ever received. Because there were people all over Canada on their knees praying. He got the full 5-year term. And all those liberals that controlled the parliament, they lost 76 seats, they only have 4 left. And now Mr. Harper is really calling the shots. And he said, this is God's time. And God is answering the prayer of his people. And I'm seeing it. I leave here tomorrow and I head for Winnipeg, Manitoba, where we'll have 2,000 people at a prophecy conference, hungry to hear the word of God. Things are changing in Canada. And you know what God has done? He's shown the U.S. that by doing that, he will bless them because now the Canadian dollar is worth more than the U.S. dollar. Recently, the G8, the 8 largest economies in the world, are meeting at their annual meeting. All of the resolutions were against Israel, every last one of them. It only takes one of the 8 to veto any resolution. Mr. Harper vetoed every single one of them all week long. Obama was furious. He came up to him not realizing that his microphone was still on. They got it on tape. He said, "What's the matter with you, Stephen? You're vetoing everything." He answered him, "What's the matter with you, Barack? Why don't you go back and read your Bible and find out who you really should support?" Now that's a man of courage. The greatest thing about him, he has a secretary in Ottawa who actually goes to our Bible conferences and orders books from Hope for Today. Now there's a wise woman. Wouldn't it be great if once again, like those 4 guys in that haystack in colonial America, in a new country that was filled with drunkenness and drug addiction, and immorality, and nobody said they would survive. In England, they were laughing at him. But there were 4 guys in a haystack praying that God would perform a miracle. And God sent men like John Wesley and George Whitefield, men who were fearless. They tried to kill them, get rid of them. They started preaching the word of God, and the prayer movement just kept going. Our Congress and our Constitution was born in prayer. My friends, it's still possible. Amen? Wouldn't it be wonderful to meet again in a year and hear that a revival is sweeping across America as people are getting saved and getting right with the Lord? How about starting right here? And God saves by few, not by many. We've trusted all the advertising and all the technology we have to try to promote things we're interested in. Why don't we stop and ask the only one who can do anything about it? He said, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Does our land need healing? I guess it does. One more thing that may happen this year. The prophecy of the rapture may be fulfilled. We're going home. We're going home. I liked what Dr. Ed Heinzen said about his students. He has over 12,000 students to teach. But he said some funny things during the weekend, and one of them was that his students, when they come to Liberty, all want to talk about the rapture. When is it going to happen? I'm so excited. I hope it comes now. And then they get married on campus. And 6 months later, they thought they missed the best thing in life, the rapture. What happened? Marriage wasn't what they thought it was going to be. Amen? So a lot of people want the rapture to happen because things aren't going good in your life. The rapture is going to come when God said it was going to come. When is that? I don't know. We don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know the month or the year. We don't know anything. But it could happen tonight. Well, guess we got a little more time. One of the guys here remembered that I used this illustration in my message last year. I kept saying, now! Which, of course, keeps people awake. He came up to me and he said, he's been playing that tape over and over again. He said, I'm going in my car and I hear you yell out, no! He said, it just makes me nervous. It may be the Lord's coming right now. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Three things we said, we've only done two. The third one's very short. One is to remember what will not change. Keep a firm grip on it. Study your Bible. Be confident in what God says. And number two is to realize what may happen this year. It may not be to our liking, but it's part of God's plan for our life. Number three, and finally, rely upon the Lord no matter what happens. Amen. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. I want you to turn to Isaiah 50, please. Isaiah chapter 50, and with this we're done. Isaiah chapter 50, and look at verses 7 to 10. Rely upon the Lord. No matter what happens. Isaiah 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I've set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let's stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? And here's the punchline. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Amen. Rely upon the Lord. No matter what happens. Will you join me, please, in prayer? Father, we thank you for the wonderful prophecy conference you gave us this weekend and for all the Calvary churches that were involved in supporting and encouraging it, all the people who came. We thank you for the blessing of it. And Lord, as we conclude this conference, with a message about what the future may hold for us. May there be some real sanity among us, not foolishness. May we with integrity look carefully at what the Bible says and understand that things may happen even this week that are different than what we were expecting. Lord, I pray for those in our audience who are not sure of their own relationship with you. Help them to understand that they have no guarantee that they'll live this year out. Help them to turn to you before it's too late. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, as I interrupt my prayer for just a moment, I'm not going to embarrass you or call on your name, but I'm going to give you the opportunity right where you are to settle your relationship with the Lord. Though no one on either side of you knows what you're doing, you do, and God does. If you know that things are not right, it's time to make them right. And I'm going to ask you right now just to lift your hand up to the Lord quietly and say, God, please help me. I got to get straightened out. Right? Yes. God bless you. Yes. Right where you are, yes, way in the back. God bless you. Yes, sir, over there, and yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, over there. Listen, don't do nothing when you know there's something wrong. Yes, young lady down here, and sir, way in the back. God loves you. He will forgive you. He can pick up the broken pieces we've made of our lives and make something beautiful out of it. But you don't know what's going to happen. We need to live every day as though this is the last day of my life on earth. Father, I thank you for all these folks. Thank you that you see the hearts as well as the hands. God, I pray that you'd open their hearts to you for all those difficult situations that need to be resolved. Those things that are wrong that we're doing, we think nobody knows. But you know, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to deal. And God, I pray you'll help them to get to the Bible as soon as they can to find out what you said you will do if they will turn their hearts over to you. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your kindness, your forgiveness. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen.